Welcome to Entrench, a 21 Pilots podcast. Hello, local dreamers. Welcome to Entrench. My name is Anna, and this is episode 62, Message Man. Make sure you listen to the song beforehand and are ready for an in-depth analysis of track 11 off Blurry Face. Today, I'm joined by my new friend, Chase.
Hello, I'm Chase.
And want to say any fun facts? Who are you?
Shoot. Message Man was one of my favorite songs.
Okay. Is that why you wanted to be on the song?
Yeah, it is.
Nice. Okay, well, starting with your introduction questions, how did you find 21 Pilots, and then how did you find this podcast?
All right, so I found 21 Pilots in middle school. I started listening to 21 Pilots, like, when Blurry Face blew up and everything. Mm-hmm. Started listening to them more, and the more I listened to them, the more I actually listened to the lyrics and everything and understood what they mean. And then the podcast, I remember, I was just in my room, and I was like, I want to listen to, like, some 21 Pilots content, right? Mm-hmm. But at the time, there was not really anything out. I think it was, like, right before Scaled and Icy came out.
Yes, 2021.
Yeah. And so I was just, like, playing Minecraft, and I found your podcast, and...
What a duo. Wow, I was speaking over your Minecraft session. That's so wild.
I remember, I was in a desert building a temple or something. I don't know.
Okay, but, good metaphor.
Yeah, I remember listening to the Lovely podcast.
Is that what you started with?
Yeah, it was either that or, like, Isle of Flightless Birds, because that's also one of my favorite songs.
Nice. Okay.
And so now, whenever I listen to Lovely... He talks about, like, the cobwebs and flies come out.
Mm-hmm.
And I always think of, like, your interpretation of that.
Nice. That's cool. Do you have a favorite album?
So, picking a favorite album is... Well, it's easier than picking a favorite song.
Yeah.
But I think probably Trench. Because...
Yes, we got another one.
I remember being so hyped when it came out.
Yeah.
And it's also, like, the start of everything, you know? Kind of.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I remember watching the jumpsuit video...
Mm-hmm.
And everyone being mad, because he was like, you were asleep. We were here the whole time.
Were people mad? I feel like it was funny.
Well, because they were like, we waited on you for 3 years, and you're going to tell us we were the ones?
Yeah. Give them a break. They needed a break. Do you have a favorite song or a couple of favorite songs? Well, you said Message Man.
Yeah. So far, I've said Message Man and Isle of the Flightless Birds.
Mm-hmm.
But I have them written down. I like Nico and the Niners. I like Be Concerned a lot.
Yes, that's a good one.
I remember first getting into 21 Pilots, I listened to Fake You Out a lot.
Okay.
And then everything off Trench, I really like Overcompensate.
Yes.
It's great so far. I already memorized it.
Good job. I still have it. What do you feel, like, do you feel like Overcompensate is giving you, like, Trench vibes again? Like, as far as, like, excitement level, or, like, how are you feeling?
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny, like... You feel all the different vibes when it comes out, or, like, the excitement
mm-hmm.
of, like, the Trench excitement and the Scaled and Icy excitement, too.
Mm-hmm.
That was awesome. And so Overcompensate and the whole Clancy everything, I think it's just gotten me even more excited because it's a really good blend of Trench and Blurry Face together.
Yeah, I agree. I guess I was mostly... Well, we'll get into that. Like, cutting off your intro. How does 21 Pilots inspire you, or do they represent anything for you?
So, I was going to talk about this in the first question, but I moved it to this one. But, it kind of, like, when I said I started listening to the music more, and,
mm-hmm.
like, the lyrics, figuring out what they mean, it was, like, they perfectly described, like, everything I was feeling at the
yeah.
time. Especially that line from Holding On To You, where he's like, it probably happens at night, right? How did he know that?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it kind of opened my eyes to music as an outlet for, like, expression and all that
mm-hmm.
stuff. And, a way to let your emotions out and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any favorite memories related to the band?
So, all the concerts.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the Bandito tour.
Okay.
That was my first one. And then Takeover tour, Icy tour, and
mm-hmm.
that's it. We ended up getting really, really good seats for the Icy tour because, like, we knew people that knew people that knew people, and we ended up getting, like, box seats. And it had, like,
that's
a couch
crazy.
In there. It was crazy cool.
Oh my
cool.
gosh.
Yeah.
Wow, were you, like, eating, too?
No, they didn't have food. We didn't get food, at least.
Seems like they should.
Oh, wait, no. Sorry, we did. We got nachos. It was a huge plate of nachos.
How do you forget nachos? Nice, that's awesome. Yeah, I don't think I'd ever be able to afford being in a box.
Yeah, no, we got a good deal, something like that.
I love that you went to the Bandito tour, though. That was my favorite.
Yeah, it was so cool.
It's hard to top that.
Yeah, I remember I have pictures with my old iPhone with a really bad camera from far away of just, like, all the stage lights and everything.
Yeah.
Also, another favorite memory I have is just, like, learning all about them from the beginning and, like, consuming all the content I could. Like I was saying earlier, when I found the podcast, I just wanted some 21 Pilots content, but I had already exhausted. I've already watched all the interviews, listened to all the music, you know, stuff like that.
So that was really fun. You know the interview? Me and my friend Becca love to talk about this interview where they were doing, like, frequently asked questions. And Tyler was, like, talking about how he hates bananas. And he was like, I would go up to the maker of bananas and, like, slap it out of his hand.
Yeah, I do know that one. Yeah.
None of us will.
I think my favorite interview moment is when Tyler's like, oh, like, if I have a family someday and someone breaks into the house, I'm just going to be at the top of the stairs. Excuse me.
Can you please leave?
Please leave.
Yeah. What about, like, Happy Wheels? And
oh, the Happy Wheels stuff, too? That was great. Yeah. Or, I know, like, the Red Dead clip of just him stumbling around the town as John Marston and stuff.
I don't think I've seen that.
Really?
I've seen the one where he, like, throws the knife through the window. Have you seen that one?
Yeah.
And the, I Renew bracelet. So many good ones. If you haven't seen them, you should really watch them.
Also, all their vines, too. Yeah. Their vines were amazing. I was thinking about them today, and I watched, like, a little compilation. It was hilarious.
I need to rewatch those. But yeah, like, bands can't say they're on Vine anymore. What a shame. So, we, like, previewed this, but of course, everyone, I'm sure, wants to hear about our reactions to overcompensate. What are your thoughts, Chase?
So, when Scaled Nicely first got announced and, like, Shy Away dropped, I remember being, like, kind of like, ah, it's okay-ish, whatever, new sound, whatnot. But then I started listening to it more, and I really liked it a lot. And the exact same thing happened with Overcompensate. You know, like, I wasn't really sure about the flow. It was like, oh, okay, this is good. But the more I listened to it, the more I fell in love with it and started repeating all the lines, getting stuck in my head. What about you?
I cried. I was so excited. I was, like, kind of squealing, like, leading up to the, like, I did the video premiere, as I'm sure you did, too. The way it, like, started with Welcome Back to Trench is what, like, really set me off.
Yeah, they gave me chills. Like,
I was, like, only in my wildest dreams that I think I would be introduced as, like, going back to Trench.
Yeah.
I love Bandito, the song, so the way that they also led with that made me emotional, too. And then the time changes were great.
Yeah.
And I love Spanish, so I like that he threw a little corazón in there. Yeah, we're doing the emotions from the video. But I feel like even that, it's like little nods to the things that they've always done and kind of like bringing all their different album styles together. I love how in the Lore video, he even like threw Vessel in there. Like
he's
throwing everything together. I also saw a theory that the like circle image on the map is supposed to be like related to the fan on the self-titled album cover.
Shoot, I didn't even see that.
Yeah. I should have reposted it. Now it's probably, like, gone forever.
Yeah, no, I saw another theory. It was really, really good. It was, like, the best theory I've ever heard. But I never screenshotted it or looked at it, so I have no idea what it is.
You don't even remember the premise?
I remember. No, honestly.
That's sad.
I probably have to find it, but
was it about overcompensate or something?
Yeah, it was. It's about, like, modern stuff.
Wow. We're just left on a cliffhanger. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, someday, you know, it won't be for a couple years, but we'll get to overcompensate. But for now, we're gonna dig into Message Man. So I just wanted to give a brief trigger warning for suicidal ideation. It's pretty brief in this song, but just in case, just know that there is some implication of that in this song. And background-wise, I really didn't find much, but it was recorded in Los Angeles and produced by Tim Anderson. So, yeah, let's dig into the song. Did you have any thoughts on the music or anything like that?
Oh yeah, I the reason that this became one of my favorite songs was because of like how different it sounded, or like all the synthy vibes of it. It sounded like, it's hard to describe.
Yeah, I noted, like, I think similar to one of the other songs we just went through, the synth sounds like an organ. And so it kind of felt like it's this, like, precursor to, like, a sermon at church that he's, like, leading into. And then I just noted with the no's and the yeahs that he repeats throughout, it kind of feels like he's setting up this contradictory tone of, like, his thought process and the behavior he'll talk about. Anything else?
Yeah, I figured out what I was going to say. It sounds, like, big. And that's what drew me so close to it.
I feel like I've not listened to it for, like, a week now, so I'm, like, blanking on what it sounds like.
I don't know. Like, there's, like, a lot going on in it, you know? Yeah. It's not just a ukulele and piano. Mm-hmm. It's so much sound.
It's not just, like, House of Gold. So, going into verse 1... He says, "A loser hides behind a mask of my disguise, and who I am today is worse than other times. You don't know what I've done. I'm wanted and on the run. I'm wanted and on the run, so I'm taking this moment to live in the future." Any initial reactions?
So, I told you a little bit before, there's, like, some contradictory stuff with interpretations, and it's at the last line of the song. But, I don't know, I think it's telling it's, like, introspective.
Yeah.
He, I don't know, it's hard to, like, describe it without just repeating the lines, you know? But, you know, he has this mask on of fame or what have you. But behind it, he's not much.
Yeah, for sure. Which I feel like is the point of a mask, too.
Yeah.
I also noted that he, like, emphasizes that he's hiding a loser. And, like, to me, a loser could imply, like, either weirdness or sin or just, like, parts of himself that he fears could be judged, which I definitely empathize with.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the times when people have a mask on, I don't know, it makes me think of, like, Lord of the Flies, where masks and anonymity cause so much havoc because, like, it's not you doing the thing. You know, it gives you the ability to hide behind the mask, but, I don't know, those feelings aren't reciprocated by Tyler. Like, it's not the same.
That makes sense. Nice literature connection. Oh yeah, we both studied English, so we have all the connections. The next thing I noted was how he emphasizes that who I am today is worse than other times. So this could be, like, his guilt and shame of wrongdoing, which could, like, make him feel fill in the blank, like gross, bad, weird.
Yeah. And it goes with the next line, too. He says, "I'm wanted and on the run," just like the run and go. Like, he's killed a man, he's on the run, who I am today, like, he's done something bad, and so he's trying to run from his deeds.
For sure. He's definitely trying to, like, disassociate, even though that's, like, not how you heal through it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I also just noted that, like you said, like, he's guilty, he's avoiding reality. And so he's kind of holding this tension of, like, the future, I'm trying to live in the future, but at the same time, like, haven't really reconciled with the present either, and needing, like, redemption for his wrongdoing.
Yeah. So I'm taking this moment to live in the future. I kind of think about it as, like, you know, when you're going through a bad time, it's better not to focus on the current badness of your situation in the present, but, you know, in the future, things will be better. In an analysis that I was reading of the song, it brought up a Lao Tzu quote saying, like, if you're anxious, you're living in the future, and if you're depressed, you're living in the past and stuff. But
that's interesting.
Yeah, like I said, like, I feel like living in the future is acknowledging that things get better rather than focusing on your anxieties in the future.
Yeah, that makes sense. I don't think I've read any Lao Tzu.
Neither did I. I don't know.
Now we have. Did you have any last thoughts on verse 1?
No, I don't think so. I think we've...
Okay. So moving into the chorus, he proceeds to say, "Release me from the present. I'm obsessing. All these questions, why I'm in denial that they tried the suicidal session. Please use discretion when you're messing with the message, man. These lyrics aren't for everyone. Only few understand. Iconic. But yeah, again, like, he's trying very hard to escape his shame and the lies and everything that he's in, even though he's just said he's trying to live in the future. So he's still, like, very much in this tension and obsessing.
Yeah. Reminds me, well, there's, like, two lines in here that kind of remind you of, like, Guns for Hands. Talking about being in denial that they tried the suicidal session and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I don't know, later we can talk about it. Where he's talking about, like, how could you sleep at a time like this?
Yes. You know?
And how in Guns for Hands, like, it would keep him awake at night. Mm-hmm. And he would obsess over these things about how these people could do this.
A lot of themes of obsession, I guess. But yeah, in the second line, like, I'm wondering if this is kind of implying that he's denying that he had a suicide attempt. Or even just, like, more in general, like, being faced with the reality of sin and his actions. What do you think?
I totally agree. I think that this second line, even from when I first heard it, I've always tried to figure out more of it. Because I feel like my explanations never really cover it, you know?
Yeah. Like, I see tried, and I think of, like, being on trial, like, being held guilty for something.
Mm.
So I think that's why I interpreted it that way. I guess I'm unsure how else to interpret it.
Yeah, right.
But then it kind of seems like he shifts tones in the second two lines.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot. The other thing with tried is the other possibility is it's more like people are putting pressure on him for even bringing up the topic of suicide. And maybe, like, that's an issue from more of, like, a music professional standpoint. Like, you shouldn't, like, breach that topic.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
But what do you think he's getting at when he's... Like, who is he talking to when he's saying, like, please use discretion?
I think, well, really everyone that listens to their music, mm-hmm. you know. I have a story for this part.
Okay.
So, I had this friend, and we would talk about Twin Pilots all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Such huge fans. A Scaled and Icy comes out. I'm like, oh, what did you think? And they're like, oh, they're sellouts. I don't like them. They sound too poppy and whatnot.
Is this?
And it was like... You're not hearing the message.
Yeah.
You know, talking about, like, good day, it sounds so happy and whatnot. And the lines are talking about if he lost all the people close to him, you mm-hmm. know? So I think a big part of 21 Pilots' music is to kind of know what they're saying.
Yeah.
And
what's the song that actually addresses that? That it's like...
Oh, even is it a...
These no. lyrics are so down.
Oh, not today.
Yeah, I think so.
I was thinking of the part in the forest where he's like, I don't want to be heard, I want to be listened to.
Yeah. Yeah, people just hear the music sometimes, which is frustrating.
Yeah. Which, I don't know, I know that was the same, that was true for me as well. Mm-hmm. I remember listening to this, I was like, who's the message man? Like, who's it supposed to be?
I feel like that was similar to Lane Boy for me. Like, it's interesting how they, like, play on, like, the punctuation, and so when you're just hearing it, you're like, wait, what does this mean? But then you, like, see it textually. As an English nerd, I'm just like, I love that. It's so unexpected.
Like the Let's Eat Grandma.
Yeah. And
having commas, knowing when to put commas.
Saves lives. But it's interesting, though, because the title doesn't have the comma. So, yeah, you would think it's, like, a message man.
Do you think that was kind of done intentionally? Of, like, you know, only the few will get it?
Yeah. I mean, he does do double meanings a lot, so
yeah.
It probably could be taken as both. Interesting. Well, because then, if you're just, like, does message man mean God then or something? Like, he's putting the messages through Tyler. But, yeah, I wrote down for, like... Please use discretion. Be careful because of the gravity of these topics, such as suicidal ideation, and treat them with appropriate severity. But then for producers, this attitude of, like, don't assume you know the entire meaning or, like, all of the layers. And so, like, if you want to, like, revise a song or take parts of it out, like, it's probably going to completely change it in a way that
yeah.
it shouldn't be. which that's where it's like the fandom comes in to then like protect what the actual meaning is, because we get it even though those people might not. But yeah, I feel like a big part of the message is like, have humility that like maybe you don't know everything that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any other thoughts for the chorus?
Not necessarily. I don't know. This doesn't add meaning, but I remember, again, like when it first came out, I was like, what does this song mean?
Mm-hmm.
So there's this YouTube video, and it wasn't even good. It wasn't even like a song interpretation analysis or anything. It was just like a creepy video. And it was like, Blurry Face is coming. Or like, and they got the line wrong too.
Wait, was this Twilight Pilots or who was this?
It was just some YouTuber. I don't know.
Okay.
And they like started playing the music on screen and got the lyrics wrong. In this song especially, it said only if you understand.
I mean, to be fair, that I feel like it sounds similar, so I could see that too. I thought it was that for a long time, actually.
Yeah.
So, I'm sure a lot of people did.
I don't know. I think it's just kind of funny doing...
The irony.
What does this mean? And then having the completely wrong meaning
In
a song about knowing the meaning.
Yeah, for sure. Like, you kind of look dumb right now.
Yeah,
but then I also noted, like, only if you understand, but also, like, it's not for everyone. Some people could be too surface level, kind of like what you said. But also, like, people could also be too scared, especially, like, I feel like Tyler's talking about older generations, like, being too scared to talk about depression or suicidal ideation. And whereas, like, on the flip side, it's like, no, like, talking about it not only reduces the stigma, but, like, I feel like the more we get it into, like, normal discord, like, people can get help sooner, too.
Yeah.
Did you want to, like, read any of the lyrics? You don't have to.
I'll say a very kind no thank you.
Okay. That's fine. So, going into verse 2, he says, "You don't know my brain the way you know my name. You don't know my heart the way you know my face. You don't know what I've done. I'm wanted and on the run. I'm wanted and on the run, so I'm taking this moment to live in the future." He's just, like, digging in deeper.
Yeah. As for, like, biblical allusions, you know, as humans, we don't know each other's insides at all. You know, we don't know who is actually bad on the inside, who's corrupt and whatnot, and only God does.
On the flip side, like, we also don't know, like, who's redeemed. Like, we can be so easy to judge of, like, oh, they don't live the way I do, so their faith must not be legit. But it's like, we don't know. I feel like I used to be in, like, a more of a college-age, like, community at church, and a lot of people would fixate a lot on, like, questioning if certain people, like, had salvation or not. And it's like, that's really shouldn't be the point of, like, how we interact with people or, like, analyze what we're doing. Which is maybe also, like, a pride thing of, like, wanting to compare and feel like, oh, maybe I have it together more than someone else does. Which, on the flip side, like, we can also believe lies and be like, oh, I'm so much worse than everyone else, but that's also not true. After our brief intermission. where were we?
Oh, comparison. Oh, there's
you
a...
don't know me. Thanks. Sorry to cut you off.
There's a Bible verse about comparison that I can't think of right now that I feel like will probably fit in really well.
You don't have the whole Bible memorized? Just kidding. Heathen. Hey, we'll get to that soon.
Teaser.
Sorry, we're a little off the rails. Did I cut you off again?
Oh, no, you just called me a heathen for not knowing the Bible. That's what. That's where we were.
Okay. Moving on. I feel like half of my notes are, like, things you've already said.
Yeah, because, I don't know, that's what a lot of the song is. You know, we've already been over the fact that he's wanted on the run. Talked about the run and go.
Yeah.
Anxieties about living in the future.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's... I could have pulled verse for this. Why didn't I pull verse for this? But where it's like, God looks not how man looks.
Yeah.
Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And then I also noted, like, what I've done being wrongdoing or message in the song about artistic expression and layers of meaning. But I feel like I kind of already said that anyway. Yeah, I feel like this was a repetitive verse. Was that all you had?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, so going into the bridge, this is like the chunky bit. Beside the A's and my people singing, he says, "Hope you're dead, because how can you sleep at a time like this? People, they rhyme like this. We're all impressed by this. They rip it, flip it, but these are just triplets. Wrote this in 3 minutes, three words to a line." It just flows so good.
I know, right?
It's just poetry divided. I'm the kind of guy who takes every moment he knows he can fight it in. Music to use it for others to use it. You're dead, because how can you sleep at a time like this? Life is up here, but you comment below, and the comments will always become common motivation to promote your show's next episode, so your brain knows to keep going, even though hope is far from this moment. But you and I know it gets better when morning finally rears its head. Together we're losers. Remember the future. Remember the morning is when night is dead. I'm not going to lie. I don't know this rap because it's such a tongue twister, and I get partway through and give up.
Yeah, I know. I think probably Message Man and Ode to Sleep are like the raps I have the most difficulty with, like, saying, just because it's so much at once.
Can you do Kitchen Sink?
I can. I listened to Kitchen Sink yesterday for the first time in like a year.
Yeah, just because I really need to listen to like Regional at Best again because it's been a minute.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot here. Where should we start?
Actually, let's just start at the A's. I remember.
Okay. I didn't expect that. I didn't have anything.
Whenever I hear it, I always think it sounds like a Joker laugh.
Interesting. I'm not familiar enough. You have to send me a video or something.
Well, not necessarily like Joker's laugh verbatim, but like just like little laughs, like little taunts almost.
Okay. That makes sense. Did that bring any like added meaning to you, or?
I mean, kind of. I think it just kind of supports the bigness and loudness of the song. When I say it, like, imagine like you're a tiny person like in a coliseum and everyone around you.
Yeah, it does give like coliseum vibes.
Yeah.
I noted that dead, hope you're dead. I feel like he is kind of implying that dead is better than asleep, because it's better to just be like, I don't even know how you would explain it.
Like, yeah,
it's better
like
to
when
just
you're
be out of it entirely than like numbing and apathetic to everything.
Yeah, it's like bad to be a bystander, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if you're asleep, you're a bystander, so.
It's like bullying, like,
yeah.
Do something.
Yeah, you better, like, if you can't do anything, you better, like, have a good reason. You better just be dead.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's the only reason you have for not kind of joining in.
Yeah, if you're in a stadium, like, Roman battle or something, you can't just stand there and watch everyone kill each other. Then I noted, when he says people, they rhyme like this, again, like what you alluded to, like people tend to care more about like the rhythm and like, oh, that sounds cool, like, oh,
yeah,
it's so cool. But really it's like, okay, but do you know what they're actually saying? And I feel like he's kind of poked at rap in that way before too.
Yeah.
Because really, like, even though, yeah, it sounds really good, most of this is like pretty straightforward lyrics. Like half of the bridge is just him talking about how he writes raps.
Yeah. In the article that says, like, if you're anxious, you're living in the future, in that same one later, I thought it was really interesting. It talks about how it, let me just pull it up so I don't forget.
Okay. I also added that when he says, these are just triplets, it also, like, builds into, like, how a lot of music can just be formulaic.
Yeah.
And then I added, like, the irony that he's also just explaining what he's doing at this point in the bridge.
Lambo vibes? Question mark?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say so.
It's kind of feeling it.
But then he slips in the message, like, the second half, I think.
Yeah.
For the people who are paying attention. Did you find your thing?
I did. He's saying how writing lyrics is not that hard. And then the author says, I do think he inadvertently complimented himself here. He says writing is not so hard, so stop treating me different, but it is not just hard for him. I think when he says, like, it's not that hard, you know, sure, yeah, it's not that hard for him, but it's also not that hard for every other single person that does it.
Yeah.
So, when people come out with these songs with a bunch of triplets that all sound the same, you know, it's like the effort really wasn't there.
Yeah. I wonder if part of the question at the beginning could also be, like, back to, like, these songs are so heartless. Are you really going to write that? Like, I hope you're dead.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty bad. I feel like this is just his diss track.
What do you think of when he says, it's just poetry divided?
I mean, isn't that kind of what music is? Like, it's a more abbreviated version of poetry oftentimes.
Yeah.
Like, crafting it. I think it kind of just plays off the craft. Like, if you could write poetry, you could write a song. I feel like songs are hard, but, like, I don't... Like, I write poetry, yeah. But I don't think I'm skilled enough to write a song.
I'll say, because poetry is hard, I feel like.
But it can also be hard, like, to... doesn't have any hard and fast rules, so...
Yeah.
But, like, songs, like, they have to usually have a certain structure.
To sound good, at least.
Yeah. To be conventional.
Yeah.
And then the next thing I noted was when he says, I'm the kind of guy who takes every moment he knows he confided in music, to use it for others to use it. How he's really, like, clung to music in his times of need, confided in it, so that he can then give these songs for us to also use.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so, in that way, like, doesn't just bridge, like, processing, I mean, it does, but it also, like, allows us to have another coping strategy through what we're going through. And then I added in all caps, don't sleep, because you need tools, like, you need coping tools to get through everything.
Oh, that's really cool.
So you're dead, how can you sleep at a time like this? Life is up here, but you comment below. Yeah, just how he's talking about, like, life in music and how comments tend to fixate incorrectly. But I feel like he's even, like, tying that into, like, fueling him towards being inspired more because of, like, people. Like, he's using the haters, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah, it reminds me of, like, people that are, like, chronically online. Yeah, but these, you know, chronically online people, they aren't incentivized to go out into the real world. You know, mm-hmm. He says, like, the comments always become common motivation. Oh, man, I can't even say it. Without
right. Become common motivation.
To promote your show's next episode. They're just, you know, they're fueled by the, you know, it's a really bad cycle.
Mm-hmm. But it still promotes the show's next episode. So your brain knows to keep going, even though hope is far from this moment. And how I feel like having things to look forward to is always so crucial. So, like, in this moment, it's the show's next episode.
Yeah.
But even, like, I feel like that's, like, Overcompensate comes out, and people are like, wow, like, I'm so glad I was alive for this.
Yeah.
And how art is very important in that way to have things to look forward to.
These two lines right next to each other. Even though hope is far from this moment, but you and I know it gets better when morning finally rears its head. Reminds me of Semi-Automatic a lot, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like it's so similar. Talks about when, I'm trying to remember the line. What is it? When the silver lining rides the hills, I'll be saved for one whole day.
Waiting for the night's return. Yeah, I noted that morning is the symbol of hope, which I feel like he's used a lot in his songs.
Yeah.
And even in the worst seasons, like, morning is still, like, a symbol of light. That, like, even if it's winter, which you're probably not familiar with, and the sun's
I saw
out
snow
much.
For the first time recently.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so I actually love snow. I feel like that's a hot take, but I love winter. Where did you see it?
So I work at a special needs summer camp in the summer. It's called Christian Berets, right? And in January, I was talking to my boss, and he was like, oh, it's snowing up there. And I was like, oh, cool. And he was like, you can go up there if you want. And so my girlfriend and I, we went up there, made a snowman. It was awesome.
Nice. Was it, like, a lot
walked
of snow,
around.
Or was it, like, 1 inch?
It was a decent amount. It was, like, yeah, it was a lot.
Nice. That's
so it was cool to see the camp all covered and everything. And it was also, like, I got to make a snowball for the first time.
Yeah. Oh, that's so fun. I love when it, like, first snows and it's, like, untouched and everything's quiet.
All, like, soft?
And then there's, like, icy snow where I, like, have PTSD from my brother, like, stuffing it down my back. Just sibling things.
Yeah, I remember. I didn't know that I had to like wipe my shoes off that well, and so like I went inside. I was just tracking water everywhere.
That's hilarious. Did you feel like you had like the right gear?
Yeah, I did. I had some good jackets. I had some nice boots.
Nice. Okay.
At one point, I was stepping, and the snow was really deep. I tried to step out, my shoe came off.
That's when it's, like, really good packing snow. Like, that's, like, snow for snow. Yeah. And then I just noted that, like, at the end, together, I really love the part where he says, together we're losers, remember the future, remember the morning is when night is dead. Which is also, like, redeeming, accepting that he has these parts of himself he considers as being part of a loser, but also that he's not abnormal in that. That everyone has the commonality of, like, things they struggle with or don't like about themselves. Yeah, I love how he always, like, alludes to having unity and hope. I feel like that just, like, ties all of his songs together very well.
I don't know, I think Knight is viewed as, like, the antagonist a lot of the times.
Yeah.
And so, it's a really optimistic line of, like, the morning, like, the night is gone, the night is dead, it's... Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about it anymore.
Did you have any other thoughts on the lyrics or anything?
I don't think so.
Kind of pretty, more repetitive than I was expecting, I think, going in.
Yeah.
And then with the outro, as he's repeating, like, the A's and my people singing, I think it's also, like, this affirmation that even when he feels misunderstood in the context of, like, music professionals and what, he's, like, ending the day with the people who understand him. Which I feel like as someone who can be very angsty about people misunderstanding me, it's, like, a very nice bow at the end.
Yeah. Even if, you know, even through the bad times, his people, I'm always singing, A.A. He's got him. He's got the people behind him.
Yeah. Big stadium. I know you love this song. Was there any particular other reasons, though, that you really wanted to... on this podcast?
I think it's just really cool. Never seen anyone else do it before. Because all the songs have super Christian connotations and allusions. Yeah. You know, I don't know, it kind of goes down a little bit the further you go from like self-titled Implicit Demand for Proof and Taxicab, where he's like just talking about God straightforward. But even though it does decline the further you go, it's still super fun to search for it.
Yeah.
And to,
it's almost more fun because it's more, like...
Yeah, you need to dig and, like, analyze it more.
Which is why we're here. I feel like we ended up getting, like, one or two biblical references, so we got in more than we thought.
I agree.
Does this song mean anything, like, personally?
I mean, like, this song in particular? I wouldn't say so, no? Yeah, I feel like the songs that... hold a lot more meaning are probably like holding on to you and stuff, because the imagery in that song is super powerful and everything.
Well, we've reached the end of our analysis. Do you have any parting words, or do you have any like art you want to plug or anything?
Can I plug the camp?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, awesome. So if you or a loved one has special needs, we're a camp, Christian special needs summer camp in California. We're called Christian Berets, Berets. Try to sign up. It's super fun. I love it. I work all the sessions. This is going to be like my fourth year there.
Oh, wow, nice.
So, I'm super excited.
What's the time commitment for someone?
So, we all meet up on Monday morning. We drive up to the camp in the mountains. It's near like Twain Heart or like Pinecrest. And then we come back down that Friday. So, it's a 5-day camp.
Okay.
We have crafts. We have, it's called the Razor. It's like this dune buggy thing that we drive around the trail, and you get really good pretty views of the mountains and the forest and everything.
Wow.
It's super pretty up there.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing. I mean, I would love to if I lived over here, but I don't.
Oh, you know, also, if you want to work at the camp, you can do that too, as well, as a counselor or a CIT. If you want to be a counselor, it's 18 plus. CITs, 16 to 17 range.
Are there any costs associated?
Yes. So,
Do you have, like, a contact you want to share if someone is interested?
Yeah, I was going to say, you can go to christianberets.org to learn everything you can about it. What, should I give out the phone number? Or?
I can also put the info in the description of the podcast.
Oh, okay. You can talk to Kevin. Tell him I sent you.
Nice. Cool. Well, thank you again, Chase, for joining. This was a lot of fun.
It was.
It took us a lot to get here, but we're very happy we're here.
I don't think we even said either, like, what happened.
No, we had to reschedule, because we had a lot of tech issues.
Yeah, but we spent 40 minutes trying to
We spent set a whole podcast up. Trying to fix the problem. So, thank you for your patience.
Mm-hmm.
I'll see you soon.
All right, cool.
Bye.
Bye.
I feel like I do the millennial bye, so either people love that or they hate that. So, I want to hear from you guys. You can email entrenchpodcast@gmail.com with a written account of your 21 Pilots story or your favorite memories you have related to the band. You can also reach out with an episode request if you want to analyze a song, video, or album with me. I will say someone already signed up for Overcompensate, but if you want to do the video, you can.
Dang, already?
Yeah. So... we have a lot available on Scale to Nicey and obviously Clancy because it hasn't come out yet. Yeah, but feel free to email even if you're like, I'm really excited about the new album already and I want to do a song. We can figure it out when it comes out. And if you'd like to contribute to the analysis we've already covered, you can send an email or message me on Instagram at entrench_pod. You can find Entrench on Podbean, Verbal, Spotify, Apple Music, and Amazon Music. I look forward to hearing from you. Tune in next time for Hometown. Thank you so much for listening, friends. Stay alive and remember, Entrench, you're not alone.